gentlemen of these here United States. We are going to bring you the news that
not
you
just the United States, by the way.
Of the world.
There you go. There you
of
go.
The world, the news you have always wanted to hear and the opinions you never knew you wanted to. I am one of the hosts of the Off My Chest podcast. My name is Alex Hebert, and sitting across from me right now is a very, very attractive man.
Thank you.
His name is
Bryce Meehan. I'm sure you've heard it. Everybody knows it.
His name is famous.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Anyways, everybody, welcome to the first one ever. We are really happy to have you here and listening. It's been a while. We started this process, how long ago? When did I first meet you at Starbucks to talk about this?
Oh, gosh, that was a couple, year or two ago?
Yeah, I was going to say it's a while ago.
It's been quite a while. Yeah,
because you were wanting to do this and get it started on your own.
Yeah.
And had some questions on like equipment and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago. And then we kind of did a mock one like 5 months ago.
Yeah, first day of the college football season.
Yeah, and that was right before the Chiefs' first official game because we were talking about the Patriots.
Yeah, we were, and we were sitting there
thinking. And we won.
You were
doubting it.
I was, but the thing is, though, was no one knew that the Chiefs were going to come out and just run the Patriots off the field.
Yeah, and then we knew how our season turned out. Everybody knows now. It's now March 24th, so we're getting ready to start a whole new season.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm excited for baseball. I definitely have gotten more into baseball lately with playing daily fantasy baseball.
You and that fantasy.
I know.
He has an addiction, people. He needs to call the hotline.
You know what? It is not an addiction, but it cost me a bit of money. I will say that. So, you know what? I enjoy it.
That's all that matters.
I can afford it. And
maybe one day they'll sponsor this. You know what I mean?
DraftKings.
Call us.
I've spent many a dollar on football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
Racquetball.
Esports.
All of it.
Esports. And
your esports is so big. Can we talk about this?
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I got a story. All so right. I was working for a company, and we were partnering with a I got a partner with a laundromat because we wanted to hang like door hangers, but on dry cleaning. And it was a higher end thing, so they had it cost money to go to this place. So that, you know, people that get dry cleaning, you know, normally they're bound to spend more money. They're spending money on their clothes, yada yada. Anyways, this guy that works there, his name's Jake, Jake Rice, actually. Anybody that knows him, he actually lives here in Kansas City. Shout out, Jake. And he is a professional gamer, and he works, his mom has run this dry cleaning forever. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just talking to him one day, he's like, yeah, man, because he had like an Xbox tattoo. And I was like, you love it that much? And he's like, well, that pays me. And come to find out, he literally travels around and plays in these tournaments. He's a Call of Duty player.
Wow.
And literally gets paid to play. He just got back from like Atlanta or something like that. But yeah, I think goes by like the name Grim or something like that is his handle. But I had no idea how big it was. And this dude, I mean, like thousands upon thousands of dollars being won.
Wow.
For playing Call of Duty. And, you know, he follows me on Twitter now, and we talk every once in a while, but it's just mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah, it definitely goes and beats the old, definitely ruins the old adage when you'd be playing video games, your mom's like, you need to do something productive. You're never going to make money out of it. And,
and then boom.
Look at that turned out.
Well, like that one, the number one subscriber, I just saw an article and I watched a video of the number one streamer that's on Twitch, and he really, I think, is a great voice. One, he's super calm, cool, and collected, but he was talking about, you know, kids, you know, he still finished college. He still kept a job while he was continuing to get better and better and better, and now he's like this huge guy on Fortnite, I guess.
Oh, that but, Ninja.
Yeah, Ninja.
Yeah.
Yep, that's his name. But he gave this great speech about how, you know, kids don't, you know, it's not about just stopping all the stuff that matters for your future, you know, like finishing high school, going to college, all that kind of stuff. And to support himself, he worked and had a job, still went to school, graduated. Yeah. So, I mean, that to me is huge, I think, for somebody in that, because, I mean, he's making, I think they said $500,000 a month on Twitch. So, and that's why that, but again, a great voice because he's so calm, cool, collected. Yeah. I mean, he's got green hair. It was a funny interview, but the kid is, you know, can't judge a book by its cover. He's super smart.
Oh, yeah.
At least from the, you know, 5 minutes I heard him talk.
Oh, yeah.
And I know nothing about the gaming world. Oh, so for me, you know, you're telling me that you play a game and people watch you and you're making $500,000 a month.
Oh, yeah. Then the thing is there was that story that came out where he was streaming, playing Fortnite, and all of a sudden Drake started playing with him, and they said that about crashed Twitch for the amount of people
that were on there.
Oh yeah, and the thing is he was just playing, and just out of nowhere Drake just showed up to play with him, and you know damn well he's thinking, oh crap, this is one of the biggest rappers in the world. His one side, but then his business side is thinking like my subscriptions money is just gonna double. Well, I
mean,
triple.
I just want to know what the pay. I mean, it's got to be like advertising and stuff. I mean, to make $500,000. Obviously, it's mind blowing.
Oh yeah,
It's just I don't know how it works. That's my thing. I know it's just like people that watch you and you know that kind of stuff.
Well, the big I know the big thing is because I like to play. I like to follow poker, like online poker, and when the regulations for online poker changed, a lot of guys would go and start streaming from Twitch playing online poker. And what it would do a lot of times is it was pretty much people could come, you know, watch and do all that, but they looked at it as a free coaching. Like, you can see how some of the best players in the world are thinking playing poker.
I gotcha.
But the money that they were making, it was from, you can sign up for a 3-year subscription, or 3 months, sorry.
To watch?
Yeah, to watch and, you know, get exclusive content and stuff like that. Also, what you can do is people can donate money. They can just go and say, hey, here's a donation of $1, $5.
That adds up, though.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
you get 500 people to give you a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
You're sitting pretty.
Yeah, but if you want to go and you want to watch some funny, funny videos, it's on YouTube, and the kid's name is... I don't know if he started out as a YouTube, you know, YouTube star or Twitch or whatever.
Yeah.
But his name is Soda Poppin'.
Soda Poppin'.
Soda Poppin'. Type in Soda Poppin' Freak Out Blackjack. And this kid playing Blackjack. And I mean, we're talking, I would say, I mean, he'd go from like $100. One time he went and bet like $10,000.
On playing one hand?
Yes. Oh, and it's so funny to watch his freak outs. It's absolutely ridiculous. So if you need a good laugh, YouTube Soda Poppin' Blackjack.
Would it translate if would we play the audio, or is it something you got to watch the reaction on his face or something?
It's a lot of it is his facial reactions, his body reactions. There's one he went and he loses.
We won't play that one then.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, on this podcast, if we can, we'll always try to give you those references of where to go find it, all of that good stuff. And if I can, I'll edit in. I'll edit in that for you so that you can hear it. I know that you're driving or, you know, doing something that you're not necessarily trying to have your phone on hand. You're just listening. So we'll make sure to pull that stuff in for you. Like on our original test episode, we got on this crazy tangent about Caddyshack, and I put this montage together. I think it came out pretty good.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
One day we'll play it.
That will be the long lost episode.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah, where you guys can see where we came from and how much hopefully we've improved in the future.
Well, it doesn't get better, man. We're killing it already.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what else is up? So you said you had a pretty crazy story concerning some gay relations or something. What happened?
Yeah. I went and I was on YouTube and I was looking at...
You went to the darkness?
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
You just went down a rabbit hole. You couldn't come back?
Oh, gosh. It was bad. Well, and I was watching clips on YouTube of Joe Rogan's podcast. And he had Duncan Trussell on. And Duncan Trussell, if you've ever listened to... If you listen to Joe Rogan, you'll know that he's very out there with what he says, a lot of the stuff. And I'm just sitting there listening to a clip, and it was something, Duncan Trussell goes and he said, well, you heard about Marlon Brando, what he did, and Joe Rogan just out of nowhere says, he's like, yeah, he had sex with Richard Pryor. And then
what?
I know.
Marlon, were they alive at the same time? Marlon Brando?
Oh, yeah. Well, Marlon Brando didn't die, I think, till the late 90s, early 2000s. Oh,
I guess that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. And then he said Marvin Gaye, too.
What?
I heard, and I'm thinking.
All these legends. Just having gay sex.
Apparently.
I shouldn't say that. It's just sex. Sorry. Yeah, there shouldn't be no distinction.
It is sex, but when you think of Marvin Gaye, you think of the soundtrack of the 70s.
I think of sex. I think of sexual healing.
Yeah, sexual healing. He would have that voice where you think, every time you think about it, you're thinking, someone in the 70s is playing this as they were getting it on.
Exactly. Let's get it on.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
All of them. I'm going to play some clips right there. Let's just dive in real quick. See what I mean? Like, you listening to that kind of stuff, you can't beat that. It's butter. It's just
so smooth.
But hey, maybe he wrote it for a dude. I mean, I'm fine with it.
Maybe Brando made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse. Now just go outside, enjoy yourself, and forget about all this
nonsense. There you go.
But I sat there and I thought, I'm like, you know what? It's 2018. If you're gay, I really don't care. But the thing is did Brando and Marvin Gaye just go through all the women in Hollywood and just get bored?
Yeah, and they're like, you know what? I'm me. You're you.
Yeah. You listen to stories of Marlon Brando, though. He was nuts.
Well, of course, man.
Oh yeah, he was in that first realm of the Daniel Day-Lewis kind of character actors
and the celebrity, you know what I mean? Of like what that word truly meant, you know?
Yeah.
Not now where it's like, you know, YouTube famous or podcast famous. Yeah. Everyone was in love with him.
Oh yeah, and
you know, and still is.
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Posters and you know, quotes and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely.
If you had to pick your favorite Marlon Brando movie. I got mine.
All right.
It's my all-time favorite movie, Godfather.
All-time
Godfather.
I mean, yeah.
But
sure.
The thing is, there are two.
But I feel like that's everyone's answer.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone's like, what's your favorite movie? Godfather.
Godfather. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Godfather 2.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Then you go and everyone's like, what about Godfather 3? I don't know about that.
Hey. Scorsese was amazing.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
well, Scorsese didn't direct.
He didn't?
No, that was Francis Ford Coppola.
Ford Coppola, that's what I'm thinking of.
Nicolas Cage.
Yes, and his daughter did something big too, right? I forget her name. I'll look it up right now.
But the other two that I like is...
Look at me. Scorsese directed. I'm going to get so much hate on that. My bad.
Yeah, you're going to get the comments like, you idiot.
Yeah, how dumb are you? You're not a real fan.
How dare you sully the name of Francis Ford Coppola.
And Godfather.
And of Godfather, too.
His name is literally blasted on it.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't seen Godfather in a long time.
Such a good movie. But the other two movies of his that I love, one is just...
Sophia Coppola.
I think she was an actress too. Wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. It says American screenwriter, director, producer, and former actress.
Okay,
she is the daughter of director and producer screenwriter Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, but so. The biggest. You ever seen Apocalypse Now?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was gonna say when I was thinking, like those Apocalypse Now, Godfather. I mean, those are just classics. They're, you know, it's like you're saying. De Niro,
Raging Bull, Goodfellas,
Taxi Driver, you know, all those I feel like, and I just heard this on another podcast, people talking like, it's so hard when you think about those movies in today's day and age, but it's, you know, like the best selling movie of all time is, not Gone with the Wind, but,
Titanic?
No. It's a really old movie. Let me look it up. Best selling movie.
Oh, Birth of a Nation?
No, it was,
for everyone that goes and just doesn't know the movie Birth of a Nation, if you watch it, wonder if, to yourself if that movie could be made today. The answer is no.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's what they were talking about is,
yeah,
it's so different. Like the VFX we have now, the sound effects we have now, the
yeah,
what goes into so Citizen Kane,
Citizen
Casablanca. Kane. This is the top 10 movies of all time that I just Googled. So I'm guessing this is theirs.
Yeah.
But Citizen Kane, you know, that's 1941. Casablanca was 1942.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, those movies are great, but do I want to sit down and watch them? You know what I mean? Like I'm
Citizen Kane is
Citizen
one of
Kane,
the...
but it that's a different type of
like, yeah.
What do you mean, Joe? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like,
oh,
that,
yeah,
it's like, it's that type of,
oh yeah,
acting that it's so different. Like now where it's, you know, people, you know, crying on purpose and not that they didn't, yeah, do back then, but like, the acting has been so elevated.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is you have some people who consider themselves are like, oh, if a movie is, you know, pre-1980, I won't watch it. I'm like, you're missing some phenomenal movies.
Yeah. And well, look, Apocalypse Now is on there.
Apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. 1979.
And the craziest thing is, you ever heard the backstory on that?
No.
Oh. There is a documentary that they did, or a book, and it's called Heart of Darkness.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about that movie and the making of the movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, it led to the point Francis Ford Coppola threatened to kill himself on what? The movie. The movie took 4 years to make. And the reason he threatened to kill himself was because of Marlon Brando.
Marlon's just messing up people's lives.
Marlon Brando showed up. It was he was 40 or 50 pounds overweight
for the movie.
Yeah. And didn't know his lines. So if you notice when you first see him,
what a badass!
When you first see him, notice there's that scene where he goes and his face is in half shadow.
Uh huh.
The reason why is because he was so puffy, he was so fat.
So he wasn't ready for
it. He wasn't.
How long did it take him to get that ready?
They said it took him 4 years, I think, to officially make the movie.
No way.
Lawrence Fishburne's first movie, he was 16. His parents had to sign a waiver for him to be able to go over to Vietnam.
Wow.
I know it was Martin Sheen, too.
Yep.
He got a real bad, I want to say he did like acid or something.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, the Sheens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very true. Yeah, people wonder where Charlie gets it from.
You mean Emilio Estevez?
Yeah, that's the first time I heard.
Emilio!
The first time I heard that, and I go and I wondered, and they said, oh, yeah, Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez are brothers. And I'm like, no, they're not. And I read that, and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know for the longest time. I mean, huge Mighty Ducks fan. You know what I mean?
But the best, probably the best story I heard about Marlon Brando, movie he did, I think it was one of his last movies, Island of Dr. Moreau.
Uh-huh.
He showed up, and it was the same thing. Didn't know his lines, was overweight.
I mean, like, what are you going to say to him? I mean, that's what, sorry, Marlon, we don't want you anymore.
Oh,
you
know, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You're not going to say that.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is you look, he came in, and for people who've ever seen the movie, and it looks like he was wearing a bucket on his head. He did. He was wearing a bucket on his head, and he had befriended a...
What is this?
Island of Dr. Moreau.
Never seen it.
I've only seen clips of it.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen the movie.
You know when it came out?
Oh, I want to say it was 80s or 90s.
80s or 90s.
Yeah. Someone's listening to this right now. It's their favorite movie. It's like, it was this year.
Yeah,
you
idiot. You're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. He didn't wear a bucket. It was a pail. But he goes, and he showed up, and he'd befriended a midget, little person, whatever the proper...
Little person.
Little person. I would assume. Yeah, he befriended a little person. And he said, he will be in the movie as my sidekick, and I want to wear a bucket on my head. And they're like, excuse me?
Oh, my God. But again, it's that conversation. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The director's like, I've written this masterpiece, yet somehow I have to figure out a way to go and fit a little person into the movie.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can fit them pretty easy.
We're going to be...
Why, that's terrible.
We're going to be picketed by
It's going to happen.
With very tiny signs.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
Oh, come on. That's funny.
You're just going to keep digging it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't mean it. Please don't leave.
Please don't picket us. I don't want to go and have the apology tour that we have to take before our first episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What took us off on that tangent? How did we get to Marlon Brando? Oh, that's from the gay story.
Yes. Okay, yes, okay. From the gay story.
So, wait a second. We've talked about Marvin Gaye, Marlon Brando. So Richard Pryor was a piece of this.
Richard Pryor, but
and this is this like a maybe story, like conspiracy theory?
This came from
the mouth of who?
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones. So he was in that mix for sure.
He was in that mix. Well, he knows.
How did he know about it?
You know what?
Is he in the room?
I don't know. But
there's
a lot
of drugs and coke and alcohol and, you know.
I mean, everyone knows Richard Pryor's story with drugs. I mean.
Serious.
One
set himself on fire, bro.
Oh, yeah. Funny. Yeah. What was the joke he had? And he said, you know you got a bad drug problem when you go and set yourself on fire when you're freebasing coke.
Freebasing coke? Yeah. Let's play that. Hold on.
But I thank God every day, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Said, "You've been punished by God." I say, "No, if God wanted to punish my ass, he'd have burnt my dick." That's some punishment. So when that fired at my ass, my dick went to work.
Spit.
Let's see if he says it. Got a light match. This is one of the best specials, man.
Was this his live from Sunset?
I think so, yeah. He's in the red suit. Don't do it.
You can tell this is 70s. Can you imagine someone lighting up a cigarette on stage nowadays? Right? Couldn't do it.
It's been a pleasure for me to do this and get up here. And thank you very much. I want to say y'all gave me a lot of love when I was not feeling well. And y'all really, I appreciate it. Also, y'all did some... applaud yourself.
Yeah, dickheads, go ahead. I'm about to tell you something.
Also, y'all did some nasty-ass jokes on my ass, too. Oh, yeah, y'all didn't think I saw so many of these motherfuckers. Since you love me so much. I remember this one. It strike the match like this. It's like, what's that? Richard Pryor running down the street.
That's what I mean, man. You can't.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if that's the if that's what you're talking about. I'll look for it. Yeah. If I have it, I'll throw it in there.
Okay.
But, yeah, dude, that's crazy to think. I mean, he's freebasing coke, and then, you know, druggies, I mean, there's a reason crack houses exist, and, you know, weird shit happens in them.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, though, to think about.
One of the all-time greats for comedy.
Oh, dude.
I mean,
we don't even have to argue it. I mean.
Yeah, if you think about it, I mean. Him, Carlin.
Oh, Carlin.
Carlin.
Man.
They said that they...
Carlin was so smart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think Bert Kreischer was talking about a story about... He's like, I don't get on a plane. I get in a plane. Like, it's just like the stuff you don't think about in your day-to-day. He thinks about every single thing.
Oh, yeah.
And makes it good.
Oh, yeah. A lot of it with his delivery... He could almost be so nonchalant when he'd say stuff and it'd just be off the cuff and people would be dying laughing.
Oh, dude, he killed it. He killed it, for sure.
And, I mean, it used to be a top three for the classic comedians, but, you know, Dr. Huxtable kind of ruined his chances of still be considering.
By the way, don't drink that. No.
That was a Mickey joke, everyone.
So yeah, I know I still think that Bill Cosby's funny. Like I think about the old Bill Cosby joke where he does he's talking about his dad And he's like, man, for a long time, I thought my name was Jesus Christ. and people are like, what? He's like, because every time my dad would come in the room, man, and I would be doing something wrong, he'd just be like, Jesus Christ.
The thing is, when you listen to him, though, the amazing thing is he could go and he could sit there for 2 hours and not swear and keep it completely... I mean, he could be entertaining. And yeah. The thing is...
Well, that's what Richard Pryor used to... I don't know if you watched that documentary on him. He started out, you know, like when he was going on the late night shows and stuff like that. They wanted him to be... You know, he was just like the happy, funny black guy. Yeah. They were trying to keep him clean.
Yeah.
And he's like, this just is not me.
Yeah.
And then that's when he turned over to being one of the most controversial comics ever.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was getting into a really good documentary. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but if you guys want to check it out, it's a really, really good story. It talks about him and his life and... You know, he had a terrible upbringing. I mean, grew up in a freaking whorehouse.
Yeah.
And, like, raised by his grandma.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He even brought her on one of the late night shows. And you watch the documentary. I won't get too far into it, but it's amazing.
I mean, and if you really think about it, a lot of the guys, when they started, they worked, you know, clean. You know, Carlin, when he started, he was on a late night show in, like, the 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
And he was completely clean because in that era...
It was expected.
Yeah, they would go and they wanted to be on the Lawrence Welk, Johnny Carson, get that 7 minutes.
Yep.
And
which was huge.
Oh, yeah, and they'd be a star. Now, it didn't start until even Rodney Dangerfield, when he started, he was clean.
Really?
And then he goes and he actually took off like 13 years.
Who's this?
Rodney Dangerfield. Man. From doing comedy when he went to
go. We're going to get back on the talk of freaking Caddyshack?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You'll see Rodney.
I'm going to play that clip of Caddy. We'll talk about it a little bit, and then I'll play the clip of just how good Caddyshack was, and if Rodney Dangerfield wasn't in it. I shouldn't say that. Everybody's fun. Ted Knight is funny.
Take any of them out.
Oh, absolutely.
Just one thing you could have.
Even Rodney. Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, I mean... Just amazing cast.
Such
we talked
movie.
About this last time. I know you guys didn't get to hear it. We'll play that at some point. But yeah, dude, Rodney. I didn't know that he took a break.
Yeah, he took and he sold metal siding for houses and buildings.
No,
and then he came
Hell,
back.
I couldn't. I would love to say that I got a sales pitch from Rodney Dangerfield because you know he was still that same guy.
Oh yeah, and absolutely.
He, you know what I mean?
He went to go and what he did is. He was still writing all the time. And then when he came back, it was, he had the act down of the Rodney Dangerfield that you know.
Yeah.
There were stories when he would perform, he would come out and people would be seeing him walking around in a bathrobe and nothing else, just letting it all hang out.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
And then he'd go on stage.
No way.
And he'd perform and not give a shit.
Yeah.
About, you know, what anyone thought.
Well, it also probably added to like, dude, did you see the guy in the bathrobe with like he was a mitt, you know what I mean?
Oh, and yeah, absolutely.
It's that thing. We just found the, we just Googled that or looked on the Netflix app. The documentary for Richard Pryor, sorry to jump out of that real quick. It's called Richard Pryor Icon is the name of it. So it came out in 2014, but if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's amazing stuff. Anyways, back to Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
So he took a break, and then when he came back, it was all bets are off.
Yeah, he had that act down, and he goes, and that's what he ended up becoming. And one thing is, a lot of people don't know is how many people he started in comedy. He had a comedy club up in New York called Dangerfield's, which I think is still open.
Really?
Yeah, he went, and it was, he had young comedians.
Dangerfield's still alive, isn't he?
No, he died.
Did he?
Yeah. I want to say he died in like 06 or something like that.
Man, look at me not being up on anything right now.
Thank goodness for Google. Yeah, so we no can kidding. Go and we Rodney can answer Rodney answer David all Fim. This. The
October 5th, 2004.
Okay. Ooh, so that was close.
14 years ago. Yeah. You were close.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, a lot of the comedians that he would start are, he would did a young comedian special. He started guys like Andrew Dice Clay. That's where he got his start.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Little Miss Muffet.
Yeah.
You heard that one?
Oh, yeah. Like
talking about
oh,
the,
yeah.
Sat down beside her. Like, what's in the bowl, oh, bitch?
thing about Andrew Dice Clay is, you know where he got that act from?
Dude, I still can't believe he's in Vegas now.
Yeah.
He like revived his career.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know where Andrew Dice Clay got the idea for his character?
No.
Nutty Professor.
What?
Nutty Professor, the original with Jerry Lee Lewis.
You lost me. I'm only thinking about Eddie Murphy.
No, because the Nutty Professor was a remake.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a remake. Jerry Lee Lewis was in the original. He played the nerdy guy on there. And then he goes and he would drink whatever, and then he'd turn into this character.
No.
He would, and that's where
with
he
got... With the accent and everything?
Absolutely, because when Andrew Dice Clay started, he was a guy who would... He was an impressionist.
What?
He was an impressionist.
I got to look this stuff up, man.
Oh, he would go... They said he would do, like, John Travolta and all of these, and he would be... Like, they said he was a killer guy. And then he started the act of, if you go on YouTube and look up Andrew Dice Clay, Rodney Dangerfield, and it'll show him the act when it was first starting out, when he'd go through the process of lighting the cigarette and doing all that.
No, step by step.
Step by step of how it was going. He'd had a few rhymes down. And I don't think people nowadays will go and be like, oh, Andrew Dice Clay, you know, he was a comedian back then. People don't remember how big he was.
Oh, dude, the Dice Man, I mean, it was, I remember, like, getting to listen to it, with my dad, like, when my mom wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, because it was at that peak level.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing of, like, I mean, some of you guys might be too young, not that we're old or anything, but, like, the Jerky Boys were huge when I was growing up. They're, you know, they don't really do stuff anymore, but, you know, that type of comedy, you know, like the Crank Yankers and like all that stuff was started by those kind of guys. You know what I mean? And Andrew Dice Clay, not that he was a prank caller or anything, but he was so, I mean, the leather jacket with the whole look, he was huge. He was selling out like Madison Square Garden and stuff.
He sold out Madison Square Garden and I want to say it was something crazy back when before you had where you could order tickets online. He sold that out in like 18 minutes,
which is crazy. That means people were waiting.
And if you watch, and if you can watch it again, thank goodness for YouTube, so you can watch all this stuff. You watch some of his clips when he was at Madison Square Garden when he's going through his nursery rhymes. Uh-huh. Everyone in the crowd, rabid, is reciting it with him, and it's just insane to watch him. Watch him do that. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And you look at them, they're all 1980s East Coast people, and they look it.
Let's see. This is him. It says Andrew Dice Clay. It's like Tom Green.
We're back with my friend Andrew Dice Clay. Talking about that amazing first night you sold out Madison Square Gardens two nights in a row.
First.
And when you're standing there on the stage, you're looking out at that massive crowd. How many people are in there?
18,000.
Yeah. Is that just the biggest rush a comedian can ever feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's really an unreal thing, and I haven't, you know, done those kind of shows lately. I'm back in, you know, what I would call bigger theaters, like 3,000, 4,000.
Posted on 2013.
Those days, it was just insane.
Yeah, it was pretty old.
The energy of the crowd. It was every arena show I did, including the Garden, had that feeling of a heavyweight fight.
It had, man. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like how, like Kevin Hart's doing it now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But like, it was unheard of then. 18,000 people coming to watch one dude do stand up.
Oh
like,
yeah. And the thing is if you
and he told fucking nursery rhyme jokes.
Oh like, yeah, and everyone.
I can't say anything. I didn't think of them, but you know what I mean.
Every one of them. Every one of those nursery rhymes, people would go, everyone in the crowd knew it.
Yeah.
A lot of times now, if people go to a comedy club, they're like, oh, I've heard this joke before. I don't want to hear it again.
Yeah.
He knew he could go and have new stuff on there.
Yeah.
If he got to the nursery rhymes, everyone could hate the first 45, 50 minutes of a show.
But they still love it.
Oh, if he ended it with the nursery rhymes, everyone was just screaming, what's in the bowl, bitch?
Yeah.
Oh, it's insane. And I got another...
And his delivery, too.
Oh, he had that down. Because the thing is...
The rhythm of it.
You could see, though, he's lost himself in that. He's officially become Andrew Dice Clay.
He's the Dice Man.
Oh, absolutely.
I saw his... he had, like, a follow-around show where people were like... Like, it's about him reviving his career.
Oh, yeah.
And they're following him around. He's still... You know, people are like, hey, Dice! And he's like, yeah, you know, like... But he wasn't... He used to be so big. That's got to be so hard to come from the Goliath of selling out MSG to 18,000 people to, you know, and then he'd fallen off. And I don't know the story of why, but
his, I think
he's still, but now he's back in Vegas.
Yeah, he's killing it. He's back in Vegas. And a lot of it is when he started that show is he had some debt to some casinos. I think that's why he started performing out there.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. If you listen, when Andrew Dice Clay was on Joe Rogan's podcast, he talked.
I listen to that.
Oh, it's very good. If you listen, he's very good at blackjack. And I mean, I'm not talking like losing 20, 30,000 in a night. I'm talking like he's won 500,000 in a night.
Wow.
Yeah. And he made it sound.
I'm going to Vegas in April. I'm hoping to get that kind of payout.
I went in February.
I tried to get you to go, man.
I know, man. But I went in February and it was so fun.
I'm telling you, you should come in April, dude. We could do a podcast from Vegas.
Ooh. Try to hunt down Andrew Dice Clay. Maybe you want to be on the podcast.
Hey, get him. I'm still astounded. I mean, it's mind blowing to sell out to that many people in that era. But those people were killing it then. You had Andrew Dice Clay. What were you talking about? George Carlin,
Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby.
Who was the guy? He's one of my favorite comedians. Can't remember his name. He just died recently. He was always like, his whole bit was he'd come out and just make fun of the audience. What was his name?
Bigger guy, smaller guy.
Yeah, he was like, he's short and like, he was huge on the Tonight. He was always on with Carson.
Don Rickles.
Don Rickles.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, gosh.
Man. Talk about the best. I just watched his thing too before he passed away. He has one on Netflix, I think. Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And it is amazing.
If you want to listen to some of his roasts that he used to do with Dean Martin, some of the stuff he would say you could never say.
I mean, he would rip on Sammy.
Yeah, Sammy.
And like, you can't say those black jokes no more.
Like, the thing is though, is they would take a bullet for each other. They were so good friends.
And he was part of that Rat Pack. Like, he was, because he was in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, and they were doing shows in this documentary. They're talking about, like, you know, you go on at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And like, and people were loving it. And then the after party was even more insane.
Oh, yeah.
And it just kept going and going and going.
There's an old clip of Sinatra on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And he was asking about, Johnny was like, hey, you know, you're friends with Rickles. You know, what's that like? And he says, does he rip on you? And he's like, oh, he'll rip on
all
you.
All the time.
Oh, yeah, he'll rip on you. He said, what he'll do is he'll go. And he said, I was out to eat one day, and all of a sudden Don came up to me and said, hey, Frank, you know, I'm having dinner with this nice girl. Could you come over? You know, just introduce so I could see that I know you and all that. And he's like, sure, Don, no problem. Frank says, finishes my cappuccino, comes over, and he's like, hey, you know, Don, you know, how's it going? He looks up and says, the hell, Frank, can't you see I'm eating? And he is the only
person. But he's that guy.
Oh, he's the only person on earth that could have gone and gotten away with.
Well, especially doing that to Sinatra.
Oh.
Because Sinatra was gold. I mean, still is, obviously.
Still is.
But was like royalty. Like, his surrounding crew, like, when Frank walked into the room, they say it was just like he owned it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, he, you know, he was the person that everyone's like wanting to get near.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Don was like his right-hand man.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, though, is, I mean, if you look to, especially to like the Italian people, because Sinatra was Italian.
Yeah.
I guarantee you go in some houses, they've got two pictures on the wall. One's a Jesus, one's a Sinatra. And they were even talking about how cool he was.
Yeah.
Dennis Miller, he said he got to meet Sinatra.
Man.
Back when it was towards the end where Sinatra was performing in Vegas.
Sure.
And he ended up getting to have dinner at the old Sands Casino. And he said, you had the regular dining room, you had the private dining room, you had the private dining room, you had the presidential dining room, and then four dining rooms back is where Sinatra got.
Wow.
Said he was sitting in there, and it was Sinatra, his bodyguard, Jilly, who was with him forever.
Yeah.
One other guy, it was Dennis Miller's mom, him, and it was their, like, maid or housekeeper, something like that. Well, Sinatra, you know, they're sitting there talking and all that, and Dennis Miller's mom was like, you know, I went and I saw you in, like, 1945.
Oh, my God.
1945 in Pittsburgh. You came and performed at my high school. And he said, Frank looked, took a drag off his cigarette, and just said, I remember you. Second row, you had your hair up high. And he said, my mom just looked and just went, And he said, that's how cool he was.
Yeah, man. He was the dude.
Yeah, and before people don't realize, before that, he was an actor.
Yeah.
Before he got into singing, there was actually a movie that he made that got banned.
Really?
It was called, I think it was called Shooter or Man with the, it was something like that. Well, yeah. What it was Sinatra played a robber. And they broke into a house that sat right next to a train track. And the president was coming in a train going across. And they were going to set up to assassinate the president.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't fly.
But this was...
Before Kennedy?
No. Or it was right before... it was right after... No. Right after? Right before? It was right near that era.
Yeah.
And then he goes and right after... I think it was right after Kennedy got assassinated, they pulled the movie off of all
of
it.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. And one time I went and I actually have a VHS copy of it.
No.
It was a weird story how I get it. When my dad was driving...
You can't find this movie.
Huh? No, you can't.
No way.
I mean, knowing nowadays, you could probably find it, but he was going through in Dodge City, Kansas, stopped in a truck stop to get a cup of coffee or whatever, and found the video on a VHS. It was like 99 cents, and I have it.
So it was released. So it wasn't released, or it was?
No, it was released.
Suddenly?
Suddenly.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Suddenly is a 1954 American film noir crime film, filmed by Lewis Allen. The screenplay written by Richard Sale. The drama features Frank Sinatra, Sterling Hayden, James Gleason, and Nancy Gates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kidding. yeah. So anyways, so speaking of which, we didn't get into this. Yeah. You are going to be on TV coming up.
I am.
I don't know if it's national or not.
No, it's just going to be a local around here.
Right, but it's pretty awesome. For those that don't know, we are based out of Kansas City, Missouri. Rep Chiefs. Whoop, whoop. Oh, Royals, you know, all that. Sporting KC. I didn't lose you either. Our Mavericks. Right. Anyway, so yeah. So tell me about this. You're a huge... I mean, I know you. These people don't.
Yeah.
You're one of the biggest... First of all, let me give you a little background on Alex. He is like Rain Man when it comes to sports. And I mean that in no way to be a downplay of who he is. He has the ability to pull dates, names, stuff that I would no normal sports fan. I feel like I'm a big sports fan. But it's creepy sometimes the stuff that this guy can pull. But on top of all of that, he is a huge, huge... Or I shouldn't say on top of all that. He uses that as well for professional wrestling.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So, yeah, tell me about it. What's up?
Well, it kind of all started. I was on Facebook one day, and there's a local...
Ooh, sinner.
And there's a local wrestling group, and on their Facebook page, it said, Wrestling Trivia Contest. I'm like, that sounds cool. So I went, and I couldn't find any info. I emailed them, and they said... Yeah, we're having a wrestling trivia contest.
Yeah, so you went to a cast. What do they say about the casting call?
Well, what it is it was two. They split it up into two things. You showed up.
Yeah.
And there was, I want to say there was like 10 people for this one that I was at.
Yeah.
And it was a test. It was 30 questions that you had to answer. And
you knew all of them, huh?
Quite a few of them. Yeah.
Don't say quite a few, man.
Quite a few.
I mean, you're getting on the show, so.
Yeah, I did. Well, the thing is that as they were reading them off, or not really reading them off, the guy was going through what the test was going to be. He said, a lot of the older wrestling questions are going to be worth more points. And as soon as I heard that, I'm just like, I'm on
the
show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what, like one of the questions, I'll throw out a question. Some, you may not know it. But
I don't.
Some, okay.
You know me. I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm just not a wrestling fan because I know nothing. I remember like the NWA and like, you know, Sting and Booker T. Like we had this convo before.
Oh, yeah.
I never really got into the mania of what wrestling. I mean, you guys are diehards. Like the fans of wrestling are unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's only, I think, growing more.
Oh, yeah. Especially you know? It's...
Like, the girls now. I just saw a thing with, what's the girl with purple hair?
Asuka?
No.
Oh, Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks. Yeah, I just saw her. She was on Hot Ones with Sean Evans.
Cousin of Snoop Dogg.
Yes, that was on. I didn't know that. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked, as always. So you go to this casting call.
Yeah.
You take a 30-question test.
Yeah.
And what's next?
Well, I got an email
back.
Were
there some shit talkers?
Yes, there was. There was a kid. I was sitting there, and I was just looking at my phone, and there's this dude that was walking around, and... We were sitting on bleachers, and I go, and all of a sudden, nowhere, he went and sat creepily close to me.
Yeah.
And I go and I kind of...
Who wouldn't want to, though?
I am available, ladies.
You would plug yourself like that.
Cheap plug. Cheap plug. But he went and he sat real close to me, and I just kind of went, and I thought maybe he did on accident. He just looks at me, and he says, "You know I'm going to win this, right?" I'm like...
Okay. How old is this guy?
I'd say he was probably mid-20s, maybe. Uh-huh. Yeah. And he goes, I'm like, okay, cool. And he goes, he said, "Who's your favorite wrestler?" And I'm like, what era are we talking? He said, "Favorite older wrestler. I know you don't know any older wrestlers."
What a jerk, huh?
And I go and I look, and I'm a very easygoing guy, but when you go and hit a button with me, I get kind of pissed.
Well, especially on something that you know, I mean, again, you're the Rain Man. He didn't know that. He didn't know who he was talking to.
Yeah, exactly. And I went to go and I asked him, or I go and I'm like, and I'm sitting in my head, I'm thinking like, okay. And I said the name, and I said, "George Hackenschmidt." And he looks at me, he's like, "That's not a real wrestler." I'm like, okay. People who don't know, George Hackenschmidt was the first NWA champion in like 1906.
Yeah, see, who knows that? I didn't even know wrestling was around in 1906.
Oh yeah, well,
I mean, I get like the sport of wrestling, not the what we're seeing on TV, but like what colleges are doing and that kind of
stuff. Yeah, yeah, but
Yo, 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 everybody. So sorry to cut in like this. We were recording. We went on for another 45 minutes of some great stuff. Wouldn't you say, buddy?
Classic stuff.
And I turn around to see that my computer has stopped recording. So a very rookie move from a very pro guy. I very much apologize. I'm not watching and I can't see it behind me. So that's the hard part about being the what would they call a talent and trying to be the engineer. So anyways, our apologies. Seriously, so sorry. We'll get you coming up. We do have episode 2 coming out. That's already been recorded. So you'll be able to hear that coming up a lot sooner than later. And then we'll keep this thing going. So again, so sorry. Please tweet at us and let us know what you want to hear. Again, like I said, earlier that we missed because we lost it.
Yeah.
We're talking about everything here. So news, funny shit, non-funny shit, movies, just anything that you guys have heard, want to see, talk about, anything you want our two sets on, let us know. Again, that is what
I got. OMC, OMCPOD, all capital, all one word.
All right, off my chest, POD. So that's Off My Chest Podcast, all caps, and tweet at us and let us know. Thank you so much for your support. And please keep listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Peace.